Wag Your Show with Peaches and DJ Motai.
What's going down? It's your homie Dope Beezy, the Southeast Beast.
What's going on, man? It's your boy Jack Freeman, H-Town representative.
It's your boy D-Lo, man.
It's Cab the Don, man.
What's good? Space City, the great city. It's your boy Roose Williams.
Hi, this is Booker T, five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Brad Gilmore Show.
On demand.
On demand. Oh, yeah. Dig it. Peaches.
What?
What's up with you, girl?
You know, I'm getting my life together and stuff. I got a car.
You got a car?
Yeah.
I'm going to add in a studio applause right now. You got a truck, too. Not just a car. Now we're all trucking it up.
Yeah.
Man, Peaches. You're missed, by the way, Peaches.
I'm missed. You know what? I'm halfway mad at you because you haven't made time to call me just to talk to me, and I'm upset. This is not how you nurture a relationship. You're in trouble.
Hey, okay, Peaches, I'm sorry. Hey, life, just like you're getting your life together, mine's been busy, all right? I'm trying to keep it all in order, all right? I got you. I'm going to call you here tonight. Well, not tonight.
Don't
this is Monday morning, but later.
Later.
I'm going to call you later. But we have a good show for y'all today. We have Kyle Hubbard on the podcast today. Kyle Hubbard, who is historically the first guest of the Brad Gilmore Show ever and probably has the second most appearances on the show next to Doe Beezy. And he's here today. We talk a lot about hip hop today. We talk about Yeezus. He went to the Yeezus concert, Peaches.
What? How was it?
You got to listen to the show, Peaches.
That's shitty. Tell me now.
I'll preface this. He did not like the album Yeezus. So you're gonna have to see what he thought about the concert. But
and that's the shit. I gotta listen to my own show to see what the guest said because y'all won't tell me.
That's how the cookie crumbles, Peaches. You gotta get to the pit of the interview, Peaches. And we had a good time. We had a good time. So Motai, without further ado, I want everyone to go subscribe to Brad Gilmore Show on iTunes. Hit the subscribe button.
Well, how about this? Because I know people are probably like, "What the hell? Why am I only on intros and not on the show?" I moved to Dallas to get my life together for a little bit, you know what I'm saying? But at the beginning of the year, we're going to be, you know, I'll be back for the interviews and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't know if you wanted to let people know, but yeah, Peaches did.
I'm not hiding it. You know, I didn't have to go before people know I was gone.
Yeah, Peaches, you know, she did. That's why, if y'all have noticed, she's only been here on phone calls on the intro. She hadn't been in the interviews. Yeah, she moved to Dallas, but guess what? She's getting life together like she should be.
You know?
And that's the only thing you can ask for. And Peaches, I mention you every interview. You're here in digital spirit. You know, you are missed.
Digital these nuts. You better call
digital
me.
Digital these nuts. Digital my nuts, whatever that means. Pause? I don't know. but speaking of which, you need to go subscribe to the Brad Gilmore Show on demand on iTunes. Follow us on social media, and you know I am the dress shoe wearing Ric Flair and
you
good hair having
entertainment
world
shit.
Champion. All right, you're Peaches. He's DJ Motai. That means he's the disc jockeys of the ones and twos, and he's about to bring us in with the Monday morning music mix here on the Brad Gilmore Show.
On demand.
Yo. DJ Motai.
It's a beautiful morning out here in Houston, Texas, ladies and gentlemen. I wish you were here. Yeah, this that old school crackles in the sample hip hop for you. Uh-huh. K-Dot.
And I'm high.
H-Town.
So high.
Yeah. Please hold your applause.
Yeah. Everywhere I go, it always seems I'm so alone. So I say what up, wherever the streets I roam, trying to find my way back home. So I say what up, da 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 da.
I'm way too fucking broke just to spit it for the love of it. My stage name, the same name acknowledged by the government. What up with it? Ain't no mind to fix
fiction, I'm a realist. If my dream become a nightmare, I won't hesitate to kill it. I'm shooting, got your crib surround, about to move it. Never play it safe, bitch, the facelift for Houston. Always representing, no, I never rest a minute. You a hustler or a customer, investing all your spending. I'm living, but I'm warm through the winter. And my mother said, yeah, take a champ to lose like a winner. Okay, I wanna be a star up in a mansion, but I'd rather be your father planting seeds up on a campus. I ain't painting pictures, I'm just giving you the canvas. Why is it you look at me as if I have the answers, son? This the moment every single artist, fan, promoter's calling every day. Sammy hasn't called in years.
It always seems I'm so alone, so I say what up, wherever the streets I roam, trying to find my way back home, so I say what up, da-da-da-da, 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 trying to keep my head up, da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Trust me, Dad, I'm smart enough to know a dream is hard to clutch. But this is for my hey, likes and teachers that discarded us. What up, what up? Let me say I'm sorry to my folks, the only kid in English notes that was old enough to vote. But I passed a grad at the bottom of his class. Ain't a college in the state that's gonna bother with this ass. So I trapped, and I'm like, fuck it, I'd just rather be a superstar. You gotta tear the earth apart just to learn who you are. And this is for my haters too. Nights without a crumb, a fool, my skinny ass, I made it through. Ha! I went from school with teachers, steady fucking me, to managers, promoters, plus A&R's fucking me. What kind of legend does a corny single jingle make? About to scorch the fucking earth just to catch a single snake. I've been praying for the day that I'll be famous, but honestly, a part of me hopes I never make it.
Where I go, it always seems I'm so alone. So I say what up, wherever the streets I roam, trying to find my way back home. So I say what up,
okay, first things first. Pussy motherfuckers better hold they purse. If you ain't on my team, please step to the side. I will not be present when they roll in your hearse. Shout one time for the real motherfuckers that'll speak they mind when they do see fit. Stand up, cast no seats in the villain. If you think you the villain, are you losing grip? Finger on the trigger when the Uzi hit. You gonna recover or will you be split? Down on both knees, sucking on dick. Get really similar to a groupie, bitch. I'm still in the game, been drilling my name. Fake goes both ways, treat women the same. And I don't give a shit if she gonna be giving me brain. Cause it ain't gonna be different after we biggity bang. You feeling me, man? I'm telling you, I see that I need, I mean it, I want it. I'm feeling me defeated. I'm hunting these fraudulent motherfuckers because they thinking they something. I need to be coming up in the ring to beat them and cuff them. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Gotta make these people recognize who they dealing with. Mr. Willie Jones finna walk up at the dealership in the rain. I get a goddamn thing you could tell.
Always got your hand out and you knocking at my door. Cause you fraudulent. If I was you, I'd still pop up. Cause we all know you fraudulent. The type to smile and give me down. When I turn around, you stab my back. Nah, homeboy, I ain't messing with that.
I do what I say what I do. That's how I sleep, no it ain't about you. Just cause I know them don't make them my crew. Just cause I'm with her don't make them my boo. Authenticity ain't that prevalent. Got a real friend, be thankful, treasure it. Can't overstate that you can't embellish it. Crossville is an overpopulated settlement. Tell them people there I don't wanna visit them. Tell Barack, push the button, get rid of them. I'm just playing, but I'm talking about principle. Tolerance is minimal, generally in general. Okay, been a fool, give them something to listen to. They don't wanna hear no running from your fear, grow. Face it and embrace it and eventually replace it with courage and assurance, not a fraudulent occurrence. Haters are deterrent, a disturbance to the money man. If you fail to understand, you gon' need another plan. If somehow you overstand, you gon' do the running man. Standing on a 100 grand with a summer tan. In the dead of winter, cause you posted up in a tropical spot like a big, big winner. Indigenous brawl, about to run up in a. Or you can just stay fraudulent.
Always got your hand out, then you knocking at my door. Cause you
fraudulent.
If I was you, I'd slow my phone. Cause we all know you
fraudulent.
The type to smile and give me down.
Up in that old school. Tell these motherfuckers that I know I look young. But mama did not raise no fool. Stupid ass thinking that you so cool. Put your hand down, I don't know you. Got no buzz, kinda like an old dude. But honestly, what the fuck are you gon' do? Cause whenever I'm coming, you want me rubbing it on rude. Ooh, that's nasty, sir. Chainsaw spit like massacre. I gotta look through the lens and focus the aperture. Cause every woman I meet want me to go after her. It's like, goddamn, dog, I don't got the patience. And Corellin with the pen, I'm feeling raven. S on the desk with the S on my chest. With the moral of the story. Used to can't nobody save them. Slab ride in my dreams if I could. But for now I whip a two-door Civic with the coupe, bro. Reppin' my
my city. Whenever I get a million, I'll reinvest it in every one of you that'll feel me. I'm telling you that it's Whitney Houston till I'm gone. Sleeping on that cheaper, taking two shots of Patron. Better holla at your guala. By the time we meet tomorrow, you could be another motherfucker moving with the song.
My place got your hand out, then you knocking at my door. Cause you fraudulent. If I was you, I'd slow my focus. We all know you fraudulent. The type to smile and give me down. When I turn around, you stab my back. Nah, homeboy, I ain't messing with that. Cause you fraudulent.
Summer day, small waist and pretty face, body like you did ballet. Wondering, pondering, stumbling over words. Always been one of all, but baby, you had them curves, so you threw me off a little bit. But I got back in the game, cause I had to hit. Knowing if I could get your attention just for a little bit, maybe you could be the girl I could go home with. But you weren't feeling that. Had a dude vision clouded, kinda like cataract. Situation escalated, kinda like a Cadillac. Told me there was more than you than that big hump up on your back. But damn, that ass was nice, girl. Had me wondering what it took to be that Mr. Right, girl. Said you was a dinner before you turned off lights, girl. Walks on the beach, you know, the flying kites, girl. So I took you on a date. And the night I got it, damn, it was worth the wait. Made them kind of sounds, movies couldn't even fake. Body made the moves that Harlem couldn't even shake. Damn, girl, for heaven's sake, I was in the presence of greatness. Kissing pictures like your single friends, go hate this. Took more than a couple rhymes to make this. What we got is real, girl, you can't fake this. My sun and my moon, girl, my jump over broom, girl. And when I get home, I want you up in my room, girl.
Just like the comic code, I'ma let that body be like I'm cameo. And trust, boy, ain't no common fella. Handle business like I'm J.D. Rockefeller. My bad, I started to talk about me. I wanna talk about you, know all the things you believe. I wanna talk about the fam, I wanna talk about the fun. If things get too serious, are you the reverend and run questions? Do you love the summer season? All your close from Neiman's? Do you like butter pecan? Is your mother Puerto Rican? I'm thinking that she is, girl. That explain why that thing's so thick, girl. Every time you leave, no one play a straight miss ya. Need to take some vines and some Instagram pictures. You see me in that Benz lately. Swear to stay and gang crazy like a Slim Shady. Because these women wanna date me. Then that's a couple dates. See, these women want a baby. That ain't what I play about. Screaming pimpin' ain't dead on a player drought. Wait, baby, just stop it. You just rock it. You so polished, I can't doubt it. You just got it, ah.
You got it. Loving you ain't hard. Been it from the start. You know who you are.
You got it.
We can take it slow. Let me take you home. Cause pleasing you is easy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Brad Gilmore Show on demand. Motai isn't here yet, so I had to do his part for him. He is on his way. He's running on Asian people time, which I've been told is worse than black people time. Just a rumor. I don't know if it's true. But we're here today. I did his part for him, and Peaches is here digitally in spirit. And we have a good show for you today. We have the first guest ever of the Brad Gilmore Show. I'm not talking on demand. I'm talking Brad Gilmore Show on local live Houston. All right? Way back, 2 years ago.
In a bedroom.
More than 2 years. In where? Yeah.
In a bedroom.
Even further back than local live. It was Optimo Radio. Shout out to Big Ram. In a bedroom. At my grandmother's house, which is no longer in existence, by the way.
They tore it down?
They tore it down.
That's a tragedy, dude. That was great, a really house. Cool house.
Good house. Yeah. Great house. He was the first guest there. He's been on the Brad Gilmore Show in every inception I've had.
Have to
at
be.
At night, on Local Live, on demand now. Now he's on demand. We're on demand audio here with the man of the hour, the one with the power. Too sweet to be sour. We have Mr. Kyle Hubbard. Kyle, how you doing, man?
Yo, yo, yo. I am doing fantastic.
Now, Kyle Hubbard's a rapper.
I am.
He's white.
I am.
He's grown his hair out.
I have.
Which is weird.
And I stopped smoking cigarettes, too.
You stopped smoking cigarettes. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank
I'm
going to
add an applause in right
please
there.
Please do.
I'm going to add
please
a little.
Please do. That's why I quit, was so people could tell me good job.
Yeah.
Not for any other reason.
You just like getting that admiration
right,
from people.
Right. It's not
I'm
about
with
the health.
You. I do everything in life not for my pleasure, just for people to compliment me.
Right. That's what it all comes down to.
It's all great. Kyle Hubbard's not only a rapper, and not only is he white. Which I don't know why. I like to make a point of that because his name's Kyle Hubbard. My name is Brad Gilmore. People are going to see this and be like, whoa.
Whoa, this is the whitest episode of the Brad Gilmore Show.
Are they eating mayonnaise sandwiches?
Sure, that sounds delicious.
We're both wearing button downs and like jeans.
We're pretty freaking white
stuff.
Right now.
It's cool, man, though. I like it.
Hey, man, it is what it is.
But not only is he all those things, he is also a professional wrestling fan. And y'all know, if y'all listen to the Brad Gilmore Show, I am a huge wrestling fan. I am the dress shoe wearing, Ric Flairin, good hair having, entertainment world champion.
Perfect.
I'm the ring announcer for Booker T's Reality of Wrestling, which, by the way, is dope. And you can go look at it on YouTube if you'd like to at the Booker T ROW. But Kyle Hubbard is also a wrestling fan.
Huge wrestling fan. Before anything else. That's
before
hip hop.
But this being a hip hop podcast,
sure.
For the most part, we're going to start off with some ribbity ribbity rap stuff.
I love that.
But what's been up,
as well.
Man? I don't think you. Last time you were on the show was on the Brad Gilmore Show at night.
Yeah.
And your car got towed.
Yeah. And I missed the show that night.
And you missed the show at Jet Lounge, right?
Yeah,
you had a show at Jet Lounge. But, you know, things happen. But anyway, so how's it been, though, since then, man? Everything been good?
It's been fine. You know, You're Not That Special was the last album I put out, and it's almost 2 years old now. In March, yeah. So it's right around the corner. And, I mean,
still holds up, by the way.
I appreciate it. I really, really. It's my baby. I always love it. It won a bunch of awards, and it got me a lot of compliments, and it was a good thing.
Got you a lot of compliments.
Exactly.
We're going back.
As we said. But, you know, I've been working with DJ Cass, as you know, loosely
shout
working
out.
With him. Yeah, shout out DJ Cass. He's a genius. And I have some great beats, but, you know, I'm not going to release anything unless it's better than You're Not That Special. And at this point right now, I feel like everything that I've written recently has been You're Not That Special, but of a lesser quality. So that's why people haven't heard music from me. And, you know, I am confident there will be a day I release something, but it's not something I'm rushing. And if it never happens, I'm actually okay with it.
With You're Not That Special being...
If You're Not That Special was the last thing, I would be okay with it.
But you said something I like. You said you were recording, you've been recording music, and it's been You're Not That Special, but a lower quality.
Right, yeah.
And you said, I'm not going to put anything out until, you know, I get something better than that. And I feel like a lot of MCs, and we have to talk about this, a lot of MCs just want to put out like 8 mixtapes in a year.
Sure, sure.
And I'm not saying there's something wrong with that, but there's no possible way that, one, you could be giving 100% of your attention on each of those mixtapes, and two, they're outdoing one another. And three, it's just, you know, there's just a lot of music.
Too much music and as someone like me, I'm never going to listen to that much music.
I'm not going to listen to 8 mixtapes.
When somebody introduces me to a new artist, I'm like, what is their landmark project? Because that's what I'm going to start out with, and if I like that enough, I'll move on. But it's different for me, though. I mean, I feel like a lot of guys, especially in Houston, have the pressure to release a lot of material because the end game for them is really making it in the classic sense, like, you know, like being that dude or whatever, being in the magazines, on TV, like being a professional rapper. And that's kind of something I've separated myself from. It's not, I would love for that to happen, but it's not gonna, my happiness doesn't hinder on that happening. You understand? Like, there's a lot of things that I want to be. A rapper is one of those things I want to be, but it's not the end all be all for me. I'm happy with what I've done. And like I said, I'm in a position now that if tomorrow was the last day, nothing ever happened with rap music ever again, I'd be okay with it. You know, I came through. I think my album, You're Not That Special, was one of not the best albums released at our level, but definitely the most lyrical, the most well written, and I feel
most
like
thought out
for sure.
I definitely agree with that,
and I feel like that's my title, and I don't think there's anybody that's going to approach that title. Now, granted, there's a bunch of titles I haven't touched, and I probably never will, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
but for what I did, I made the album I wanted to make. So, you know, when I listen to that album, I know that I did what I wanted to
do. Isn't that weird, though? Because it's like, I know you've had several projects before the album. And, you know, even with my band, 2011, because Kyle and I go way back.
Way back.
I'm talking years.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that weird, years?
It is weird.
I had Fat Tony on the podcast recently, and I realized I've known him for like 6 years.
God,
five
damn.
Or 6 years.
That's
and I was
insane.
Like, whoa.
Time flies, dude.
So, but we go back, and I know you've had other projects, and we've had other projects, but isn't it weird? Because I know You're Not That Special. When you listen to it, you're like, wow, this is what I thought it was going to be when I was making it, and it turned out that way.
Absolutely.
That's what happened with 2011, with our 20 summers that we were making. I was like, it came out just like I wanted it to.
Right, right.
How weird is that when that happened? You're like, wow, I feel like Kanye West.
Yeah. No, I did. I definitely felt like Kanye West. I mean, when that album was done, dude, I was could not be touched. I loved it so much, you know, exactly for the way you're describing it. It's an amazing thing, and I think that's a hard thing to do multiple times.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, even, you know, last Monday we had Tay Mitch on the podcast. Tay Mitch is the one half of the Debonair duo.
Of course.
The Duke of Debonair. Shout out Tay Mitch. And that day, we actually recorded that podcast on Jay-Z's birthday.
Okay.
And that day, Jay-Z came out with this list. And I don't know if you knew the list.
Yeah.
But he ranked his albums, right?
Right.
And he only considered four of them to be classic albums, right? And I believe it was Hard Knock Life, Blueprint 1, Black Album, Reasonable Doubt, right?
Okay.
And what he's kind of saying, what you're saying, like, it's hard to make the exact album you want to, you know, multiple times.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
And to have something, because to me, when I first heard You're Not That Special, boom, hit me. And I was like, wow.
I'm
sure we've talked several times about it. And I was like, wow, that's a great album. And with Jay, he has 12 solo albums, right? And for him to have 12 solo albums, and he only considers four of them just to be dropped down, this is the classic album.
I mean,
that kind of shows that even if you're Jay-Z, you know, not every album is going to hit. He even said Kingdom Come, okay, first time coming back, you know, cut me some slack.
Right.
Cut me some slack.
Oh, yeah.
Volume 3, the only thing he's pretty much said he liked was Pimp C's verse. So
wow.
He was like, Pimp C's verse, oh, so ghetto.
Oh, wow. What about Bun's verse?
Hey, I'm a fan of Bun's verse.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I don't know. There's a couple songs off that album I like. But, no, I get what he's saying. And, see, I mean, he's in a position where he has to separate himself from the notion that he has to top it every single time.
Yeah.
It's different. You know, like, he's going to come out with Magna Carta, and that's going to be a blockbuster no matter what. It was a blockbuster before it came out, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, when you have a product people need, like Jay-Z, when you're a business like that, you have to separate yourself from a lot of, I think, artistic wants and desires.
Do you have to almost give up a little integrity?
Not necessarily integrity. I think your approach changes, you know, your motivation changes, you know. I think Jay-Z can't put out an album just for himself, you know, like, it's not the way it works. There's going to be so many hands in a Jay-Z pie. And, you know, that even happens for dudes in Houston, like, you know, some of the more cream of the crop local dudes. They have people invested in what they're doing, so it's never going to be a completely intimate thing between the artist and his product. You know what I'm saying? Because the bigger it is, the more people are interested in it, more people are involved, more influences it has.
Speaking of which, though, like okay, so it's like I'm Jay-Z.
Right.
I'm making Magna Carta Holy Grail.
Right.
Right. And I know I have this huge deal with Samsung that's going to get me a million copies sold before the album. And really, I think as a major label artist, even though Jay-Z's way past a major label artist.
Sure.
He's just the man. But like, even as a major label artist, he's like, okay, I know I'm going platinum before the album.
Right. Yeah.
oh, I've sold a million copies before it came out. All right, which is one. I think Jay-Z just did it to stunt. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
He did it to stunt. Knowing Jay, just so he could say it in a song. Million sold for the album.
Yeah, he probably did it because he wrote the line. He was I need to make this reality.
I need to do that. Yeah. I need to make sure I do that. But, so that really, in that regard, his major label duties were already fulfilled.
Sure.
He knew. So really, if you're thinking about it, going off what you said, he really could have made the album he wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah, he could have. Yeah. I mean, and I can't say he didn't, but I don't know.
Were you not a fan of Magna Carta? How'd you feel about it? I know you're a huge Jay-Z guy.
I'm a huge Jay-Z guy. I liked it enough, you know? I mean, it's not Reasonable Doubt, but I didn't expect it to be. I thought it was good, you know? It's not his worst album. It's not his best album. At the end of the day, I was happy to have new Jay-Z music, you know?
I enjoyed the album. You know, obviously, it's not me. My favorite Jay album is Blueprint.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And then Black Album. And to me, it wasn't one of those. You know what I mean?
Sure,
it wasn't one of those. But I liked it. I honestly might even put it in my, like, top four Jay albums.
Wow.
Just because and it's weird because I was able to listen. And I guess it might just be because of when it came out. Because other Jay albums I had to go back and find.
Sure, no, I got you.
And this one came out, and I was like, oh, because the last Jay-Z album that really came out by himself was Blueprint. Blueprint 3, sorry. And that was 2009, right?
Yeah.
And that was like really the cusp of me really starting to like really grab rap music a lot.
Sure,
So it's like now this is like the first Jay album that came out to where I can sit.
That you like experience the whole thing.
And I experienced it dropping.
And all the
promo. Sure. And I think that's why I put it up there because I hold it closer to me because I'm like, I was there for that
in a way.
But I like the album. You know, a lot of people were like, oh, it's a... like once again, Tame Edge said it was a mixtape, a good mixtape that he sold, and it's hard for me to call it a mixtape because it's nominated obviously for a few Grammys, but it's just because it's Jay-Z in the
right,
end of the
day.
But I don't know. I was a fan of that. I think a lot of hip hop albums came out this year that I was. Think about it. Everybody who's anybody in hip hop came with an album this year.
Yeah, but with that said, I was actually going to say this. It was, I think, all the blockbuster albums. At least the ones I can think of off the top of my head were disappointing.
Okay, let's name them.
Yeezus.
Okay, we'll talk about Yeezus.
Disappointing. Magna Carta, I wouldn't consider it disappointing. I consider it about what I expected.
You're about to say Marshall Mathers LP 2?
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, I hate to say this. I haven't listened to the whole thing yet.
It's a challenge.
It's hard to get through?
To me, and it's like okay, like I think we had this exact conversation when we were talking about Watch the Throne versus Bad Meets Evil.
Okay, yeah.
It's just like I know that it's good, like I know he's rapping his ass off, but it's like I don't know, it's just like so lifeless, you know, it's so mechanical and it's just like I can't enjoy it.
The songs I heard, like the Berserks and the record with Rihanna.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
I mean, even his last album, the Recovery album, was a little hard for me to get through at some points. But there were a lot of songs I liked.
Right, right.
And I'm still one of those guys who really liked Relapse.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Yeah, see, we're on different sides of the fence there.
I actually love Relapse, and it's weird because I just liked his rhyming, and the words that he was rhyming were stupid.
Sure, and I mean, he's always on top of that game. But like, okay, see, I liked Recovery, and there's a lot of stuff I disliked about Recovery, but the main thing I liked about it is the character that he was on that. You know, he was like a grown man who had gone through these demons, and I feel on the new Marshall Mathers, he's trying to go
be
back
Eminem,
to something. He's
like
not.
Slim Shady.
Kinda. Yeah.
Because he had the blonde hair.
Yeah, and it's like, dude, you're not a young dude anymore, you know? Your daughter's going to fucking prom, you know? It's like, come on. You know, be an adult, because when you are an adult, it works for you, you know?
So, Marshall Mathers LP was a flop for you.
Yeah. What else came out this year?
Obviously.
J. Cole's I was disappointed with.
I like J's, but J. Cole, Drake, Wale, Lil Wayne.
I didn't even know Lil Wayne dropped.
Pusha T.
I didn't hear that.
I think everyone who was anybody dropped out this
year. Did Kendrick drop this year?
Kendrick dropped end of last year.
Okay.
End of last year, for sure.
That album was awesome.
Okay, so... Jesus, I got to talk about you.
Yeah,
let's talk.
And I saw him on Saturday with Rouge.
Okay, and I want to talk about that.
All right, cool.
But let's start off with the album Jesus. Now,
okay.
Before the album came out, and listeners of the Brad Gilmore Show, you can go listen back to the Young Von podcast, episode 4, and we talked about, or episode 5, and we talked about Jesus before, and this was like the podcast, the Monday before it came out.
Okay, right.
And I was like, man, Yeezus, he's comparing himself to Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got this new slave song, which makes me feel bad to be a white person. I was like, he's putting it on video screen, and they don't even work in Houston.
And they get busted down.
They get busted down. I was like, he has a song called I Am a God on there. Like, who does this guy think he is, right? And I hated it.
Yeah.
And then I heard Yeezus, and I was like, yeah, see what I was telling you? It's all crap. And then I was on this app. I told the story last week on this app called Fancy on the iPhone.
Okay.
And it's like an app where you can go and it shows you just little fancy stuff.
Okay.
Right?
All
right. Like literally it shows you fancy stuff.
All right.
And you can buy it. And they
gotcha,
ship it to
gotcha.
Your house. And I was on there and I was ordering this little thing. And for like $8, if I bought something else to get over like this certain dollar amount, like $15, something like that, shipping would be free.
Okay, gotcha.
So I'm like
gotcha.
Scrolling, just finding something.
Yeah,
I was like,
to get that
let
free
me get
shipping.
Something out of this deal.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I saw Yeezus. And I was like, you know what? I'll buy Yeezus to get free shipping.
Okay, yeah.
It makes sense to me. It was the only album I saw. So I was like, I'll buy Yeezus to get free shipping.
Yeezus on Fancy, huh?
Yeezus on Fancy. So anyway, about 6-7 days later, it comes.
Okay.
And I don't have an auxiliary cable in my car. I'm a CD guy.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
I popped Yeezus in, and I just listened to it on a drive. And I was like, holy shit, was I wrong about this album.
No way. Really?
It's something completely, like, when I heard it, like, through a car, and that on-site song comes up with that just gritty synth.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And he's like, Yeezus season approaching, whatever, y'all. And I was like, whoa!
So you did a complete 360.
180.
180.
I did a complete 180.
Should do a 360.
I should do a 360 to get back. But no, and then all the song, and then all the songs, I started living with them, and I was like, whoa. This is actually a lot better than I thought. Is it the Kanye that I fell in love with? No.
Right.
But is it something that's just so, like, it's grimy. It's really punk rock in a way, you know? And it's real, like, I'm just going to do whatever. I'm going to scream right here if I want to. I'm going to just say random stuff. Like,
Right.
I'm gonna have Bound 2 on the album, which was a standout favorite of mine because it reminded me of old Kanye. And I'm just going to play a loop sample. And then you just have Charlie Wilson sing over a synth bass, right?
Right, right. And have crazy transitions between the two parts.
Just like have weird, like random synth. Like, and there's something about it. I just was like, I get it. I understand. And then, of course, all these interviews came out. All golden. Started with BBC. So golden, that interview.
With the
and then had the Jimmy Kimmel beef off of that, which was even better.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff, dude.
It was, and then
great now, entertainment.
You ain't got the answer, Sway. It ain't Ralph, though.
I felt so bad for Sway when I was listening. He was talking about his failed clothing line. I was like, come on, Kanye.
And
shit.
And then Kanye was just like, what's the name of your clothing line? We don't know.
Yeah, I know. I was like, dude, come on, Sway, interview the president. You know, like, he doesn't, you don't do this shit to Sway.
You think Kanye cares about Barack?
Fuck no. I don't think Kanye cares about anything.
Do you like this Kanye?
No. I mean, I don't like Kanye. I've never liked Kanye. Are we talking about the person?
We're talking about the person.
Yeah, no, I've never really liked him. I've always thought that he was a prima donna and just kind of sucks, you know? It's never bothered me this much, though. I think, you know,
I could tell it, but I knew when I on the way, on the drive here, I was like, what am I going to ask Kyle?
Yeah.
I knew if I brought up Yeezus, you would have an opinion. What bothers you about this Kanye?
I don't know. It's a... Because there's always, before this, I could always separate him. I was like, all right, look, he is a douchebag, but he's a genius. Like, I love his music, so I'm just separating it. Maybe because I didn't like Yeezus, I was just like, all right, you don't have an excuse to be this way now.
I don't like your shit anymore.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's just the stuff with Sway, I think, was actually the main turning point for me. Because I love Sway. I think Sway's really
dope.
Cool. You know, then
like Sway a lot.
And he's been a presence in my life, like, you know, watching him on TV since I was a kid, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I didn't like that. And just the complete outlandishness of Kanye. And I'm sure you saw when he was on The Breakfast Club?
Yeah, and he just wouldn't give Charlamagne the
He wouldn't look
day.
Him in the eyes. And I was just like, what the fuck?
I kind of thought that was funny, though.
Oh, I
Because Charlamagne was like, let's be honest, Kanye. Yeezus is whack.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, anyway, what were you saying?
No, it is funny. It is. I mean,
it was hilarious.
It's so like unreal. You know,
it doesn't seem like that actually happens.
Right. Right. Like, wow.
But don't you think, like, and we were actually talking about Charlamagne for a second before we went on air today before you rolled tape. And I was a Charlamagne fan, and I still am a Charlamagne fan. But don't you think that it's a tad disrespectful to have a guy who's coming on your show, who's Kanye West, one of the biggest rap stars of all time, and just straight up, you can say, I don't like the album, or I didn't like the, Jesus was whack, yay.
Yeah, no. But he's a rude guy. I mean, I've seen interviews he did with Crit, and they were like dogging Yellow Wolf the entire time, and him and Crit, Yellow Wolf and Crit are like boys, you know?
Yeah.
And he's just, Crit's like super awkward. So if this was something he didn't ever do, then I would be like, no, that's awesome. Kanye fucking deserves it, you know? Like, this is Kanye, it being thrown back in his face. It's not disrespectful. It's his own medicine. But that's kind of Charlamagne's gimmick to me. Is like,
He's the mean guy.
If somebody like Rosenberg did it, you know, somebody that would completely go off the cuff and, like, attack Kanye. I was about to call him fucking Yeezus. Attack Kanye West. Attack Kanye West that way. I think that would be pretty dope, you know? Like, because Kanye deserves it. He's a dick. He's a major dick. And he's a dick to people that help him out, like Sway, you know?
Yeah, no, and he did apologize to Sway at the end of the interview.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw the whole interview, but he did say, hey, I'm sorry, man. He said on air, he's like, I'm sorry, I love you. I shouldn't have.
Yeah.
You know, but I got emotional about something. And which, to me, though, and now Sway's walking around with I Got the Answers t-shirts.
Yeah, Sway, so he's getting his little.
Yeah, what a little cheat. What a little skeeze.
He's twisting it a little bit.
Yeah, but.
Getting some mileage out of
Kanye,
it.
Kanye, to me, I didn't. It's weird. I didn't like Kanye's character up until that BBC interview. And when I saw it, I was like, man, he's making a lot of good points.
Okay, why? Fair enough.
He's a dick. But he's making a lot of good points. Like when you talk about Lady Gaga, what does she know about taking pictures? You know? Right. I'm like, that's a good point. What does she know about taking pictures? I don't know.
Oh, man. Okay, but the show. Let's talk about the show.
I want to talk about Yeezus. So you went to Yeezus at the Toyota Center.
Right.
Kanye in all of his performing glory. And Kanye, to preface this, has been said to be the greatest hip-hop performer of all time.
Really?
I've seen that several times.
Okay.
And obviously the Glow in the Dark tour is something of a legend that we've all heard about.
Yeah.
So tell me about your experience with Yeezus.
Okay, I
want to
say
I want you to start with, I want the whole thing though.
Okay,
I want getting in your car.
I want every detail.
Because didn't you go with Roosh Williams?
I went with Roosh Williams.
I saw this on Facebook.
Yeah,
so I want you, what did you talk about on the way there? Where were your seat? Give me the whole thing.
Okay, all right. Here, well, okay, I was in Arkansas actually, and Saroosh texted me. He was like, do you want to go to Kanye West on Saturday? And I remember I felt immediately bad when I did this. I was like, ha ha ha, for real? Because I was just like, I don't know, Kanye's Kanye, you know? And he was like, yeah. And then we kind of argued like slightly back and forth about, you know, like I was like, Kanye's a douche, you know? And I was like, whatever, it's going to be a good show, right?
Yeah.
Me and Roosh meet up. We go to Toyota Center. My lady friend actually gave me, her brother works there, so we got premium parking, which was nice, you know?
Shout out to your lady friend.
Shout out. No problems parking. And then we got in, sat down. We missed Kendrick, which was terrible because that was one of the main things I wanted to see.
Oh, man.
Actually, when I went to Glow in the Dark, I missed Lupe, and Lupe was one of the main reasons I went to that. But okay, so I mean, the show, off the top, I'll say it was good. It was a good experience. If you're a Kanye fan, you would have fucking loved it. Like, the girl that I was next to was losing her shit, like, repeatedly because she loved Kanye West.
Good seats? You had good seats?
Decent seats.
Decent seats?
Like, kind of just little off-center, you know?
Okay, cool.
But good seats, a good view of everything. And, I mean, it's a production. It's a high-quality production. Now, here's the thing where the drawbacks for me. Okay. I don't like Yeezus. I'm not familiar with Yeezus.
Yeah.
So all the Yeezus material, I was just lost in the wilderness. You know what I'm saying? Like, I couldn't rap
lost
along with it.
Were you lost in the world?
Yeah, which he performed.
Okay, cool.
And, I mean, when he would perform something I was familiar with, I was really fucking into it. Hands up in the air, rapping along with him or whatever. But those moments were rarer than the moments where I was just like, God, this is so noisy.
What did he open up with?
He opened up with, I think, what he opens up with
on
Yeezus.
Site.
Yeah, on Yeezus, site. Yeah. And he started out with a bunch of Yeezus material. It was almost like I felt like we had to earn our way to the stuff that I wanted to hear. You know? But
what was the first one that came up that you were like, yes?
The first one that came up that I went crazy for... Shit. I can't remember exactly what the first one was.
What was one you marked out for, though?
One I marked out for, Power. Like,
Power.
Crazy. I think that was the first one, too. He did Coldest Winter, which was tight. He did Jesus Walks.
Are you an 808s fan?
I like it better than Yeezus.
Okay, keep going. We'll talk about that.
He did Good Life, All of the Lights, which was a fucking amazing. And from Yeezus, Blood on the Leaves was super badass, too. Super badass.
Blood on the Leaves is one of the standout records.
I like Blood on the Leaves.
Yeah, that was tight.
See, and I mean, it was a good show. There was a lot of huge production, you know, and a lot of, like, you know, like, avant-garde artsy shit, you know what I'm saying? So it was cool, you know? And I didn't have to pay for the ticket, so it was extra cool, you know?
Okay, let me ask you this. During any point of the show,
yeah,
did you think Kanye West's life was in danger?
Kanye would know. Why?
Because he just had an interview, of course.
Okay.
Where he said, every night I go out there, he goes, I feel like a policeman. Because I'm putting my life on the line for the people. He said I could fall off of this mountain.
Okay.
I could, you know, all kinds of stuff. Now, there was a big mountain, right, in the middle of the thing.
Yeah,
I guess, was climbing to the top of.
Right.
And didn't Jesus make an appearance in the show?
Who?
Jesus was there twice.
Twice.
Jesus Christ was there twice.
He was there twice.
Man.
Yeah.
Did he say, what up, Jesus?
No. He came out and Kanye goes, what's up, Jesus? I'm just like... Yeah, sounds about right. I guess that's what you would say.
What's up, what's up? That's what I would say if Jesus got there.
You know, I guess.
I'd be like, what's up, Jesus?
Yeah, so.
How you been, man?
How is it going? But, it was a fun show, though. I mean, I had a great time, you know.
Man, you miss Kendrick, though. That sucks.
Oh, it's terrible. Because, I mean, I love Kendrick. I think Kendrick is really, really tight. And I think he's going to have a long.
Well, you know what I have to ask you about then, if you like Kendrick? Mm-hmm. I got to talk about Control.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't got to talk about Control.
No, I haven't talked to anyone about Control.
Okay, when you heard Control, which is obviously the verse from Kendrick, or it was on a song with Big Sean and Jay Electronica.
Right.
I think it was Big Sean's song.
Yeah.
And Kendrick went off on the, I don't know if he went off, but he name dropped several rappers saying, I'm coming after y'all.
Right.
You know, I'm trying to take your core fan base from you.
Right, pretty much.
So what do you feel like when you heard Control?
Oh, it was brilliant. I mean, it's genius. It was a genius move, obviously. I mean, fucking SF2 had t-shirts like the next day, you know?
That is true.
You know, I mean, it was a brilliant move. I think it would be an honor to be mentioned in that list. If he name-dropped you on that song, I looked at that as a big up, you know what I'm saying? And it's just true. I mean, that's the way it is. That's the way every rapper thinks, you know? I mean, no matter what, that's what they're thinking, you know? Nobody wants to be number two. They're not like, oh, Kendrick is better than me.
Kendrick's a lot better.
Yeah. They're not going to be like, oh, yeah, no, he's right. You know, everybody's going to be like, no, fuck that. I'm number one, you know? Like, you know, you don't get to that level without wanting to be number one.
Yeah.
So, I mean... It was cool. You know, it was cool because it's just like, yeah, totally. All the dudes you just name drop are thinking the same thing, and they're pissed off they didn't do it first. You know what I'm saying?
And then what did you think, though, about, like I heard it, and I was like, that's cool. Mm-hmm. I thought it was cool. I was like, you know, you don't get to hear that nowadays in hip-hop. No one, straight up says their name.
Right, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, even, it goes back. I mean, I remember Common's diss to Drake when he said, make no mistake, I'm talking to Drake.
Yeah,
that's cool. I like that.
Just going balls to the wall with it.
But you know, when I heard that, I was like, okay, that's cool. You know what I mean? And that's all I was really thinking about at the time. And then I saw on Twitter, like, the holy everything went crazy.
Everybody lost their shit.
Everyone was like, oh, my God, Kendrick Lamar just dissed everybody. And da-da-da-da.
Right. Oh, dude, I actually have there was a tweet from J. Cole's fan club that night. And I took a picture of it because they took it down. And J. Cole's fan club tweeted J. Cole and said, you lost.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like the official fan club with thousands upon thousands of followers.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, tens of thousands. Yeah. I don't know if they got hacked or something, but I have a picture of it. It was amazing.
That's hilarious.
Oh, dude, that made my night.
You lost, J. Cole.
Sincerely, your fan club.
So, sincerely, your fan club. did you think it was a diss?
No, dude. Like I said, I think if he mentioned your name in that list, he likes you. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, when I heard Big Crit's name in it, I was like, that's awesome because I love Big Crit, you know? To me, he didn't say your name unless he looked at you as somebody that rivals him.
And then who did he say, like, he said, who were the greatest? He said, like,
he said, Eminem, Nas.
M, Three Stacks.
Three Stacks.
Nah. And then he compared himself, who's the best, Jay-Z, Kendrick, or Nas?
Okay.
Instead of Jay-Z, Biggie, or not.
Right, yeah.
Call himself the King of New York as well.
Oh, yeah, that's probably the ballsiest thing he did.
That was probably the ballsiest thing.
Yeah, I think that was probably the ballsiest thing he did, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think people overhyped it. Like, it was like, oh, this is what hip-hop... You know, people lost their fucking shit about it.
Yeah.
I think it was really cool. I think it was a... Honestly, to me, it was like a really respectable nod to all those guys. And to me, it makes him the leader for that class of people. You know
what I'm saying? Did you see, like, all the people who... respond? They're all once first. Every rapper and their mother made a response.
Yeah,
it's like you weren't even mentioned.
Right, right.
I don't know why you're responding.
Right, you know?
Makes no sense
because they weren't mentioned. You know,
but the people who were mentioned, some of them had choice words. Meek Mill came out with his own response called "Ooh, Kill 'Em."
Okay.
And it was garbage. I'm not going to lie.
Did he go at Kendrick? Like he went
at Kendrick for sure.
Okay.
And it was almost like a sporty kind of go at. He wasn't digging that. You know,
going into his family history or anything?
But, you know, it was a diss for sure.
Right, right.
A friendly one, but a diss nonetheless.
Sure.
You know, it's almost like you're playing GoldenEye and you accidentally, like, you know, shoot at your partner.
Right,
and
right.
And he dies, but you're like, oh, well.
Yeah. What are you
gonna
do?
At least I didn't.
Yeah. And that, I mean, I don't know. Did anybody that was listed come out with like a seething diss, like a for real, we don't like each other kind of thing?
There was one. There are a couple. Okay, recently, I'll go back. I'll go in order. Drake did a couple interviews to where he had choice words about it. No song.
Okay.
But he had choice words, and a lot of people said the language on his newest album, Nothing Was the Same, could have been directed at Kendrick Lamar.
Okay.
You know, but Drake did say, Kendrick, that's cool, but Kendrick's not seeing me on any level. He goes, especially lyrically or something like that.
No, that's bullshit.
And that was one thing. And then in another interview with Elliot Wilson, Drake said, it was control was something cool for the internet to talk about for like a week and a half. He was like, but let me ask you, everyone in this audience, because he did it in front of audience.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, everyone in this audience, tell me the opening line to Control. And everyone was like, ooh.
That's actually the best diss I think you could do.
Yeah, you're like, what? And then most recently, J. Cole came out on Justin Timberlake's TKO remix with ASAP Rocky and Pusha T, along with J. Cole, and mentioned it, said, my girlfriend asked me about this verse called Control or something like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then pretty much he said, she asked me what I was going to do about it. My mom asked me what I'm going to do about it. And he was pretty much saying, like, I'm going to knock him out, like TKO.
Oh, wow.
And then, and then of course, Kendrick at the BET Awards kind of took a shot at Drake, too.
Did he really? What did he say?
He said, nothing was the same since they dropped Control and tucked that sensitive rapper back in his pajama clothes.
Oh, yeah, that's straight. There's no mincing words there.
Yeah,
that's to Drake. That's,
nothing was the same, you know.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't realize there was that much fallout from it.
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a bit of stuff, but I thought it was okay. I thought it was cool. I thought, you know, I didn't think it was like, oh, my God, Kendrick Lamar just saved hip-hop.
Right, no, yeah.
He saved hip-hop, Motai. You ain't got the answers, Ty.
No, people were definitely losing their shit over it. Like, it was, like, the greatest thing that's ever happened.
In the history of the world.
Right, which it was not. But, like, I think Drake, it was a cool thing. It was exciting when it happened, you know?
Yeah.
It was exciting, like, it's exciting to see something crazy happen in, like, a sports game, you know?
Yeah.
The time passes, and you remember it fondly, but it, you know, it stays where it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, when Chris Burke from the Houston Astros knocked a go-ahead home run in inning 19.
Exactly, like that.
Why did I remember that? Because you sparked some kind of memory in my head.
That's what I do.
Motai, you're here now. How you doing, man?
Splendid, sir.
That's a great intro. Great intro, by the way. But, okay, so speaking of all these rappers and this ribbity-ribbity rap stuff, the Grammy nominations came out, y'all.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know if y'all have all seen them. Have you seen them?
No, I know Kendrick is up for Album of the Year, right?
Kendrick is up for Album of the Year. Let me read the rap category first.
All right, cool.
So these are all the rap categories, and I want Motai and Kyle's opinions on these, and we're all going to pick who we think is going to win.
Okay, sounds good.
So that's where we have it on audio. Okay. First, the category of best rap performance.
Okay.
Which I don't know what that means.
Yeah, neither do I.
But best rap performance, we have Started from the Bottom by Drake.
Okay.
Berserk by Eminem.
Okay.
Tom Ford by Jay-Z.
Okay.
Swimming Pools Drink by Kendrick Lamar. And Thrift Shop, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis featuring Wands. What rap performance means, I don't know.
I was just going to ask you that.
Yeah. I have no idea. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, it's... Is there a best song category?
There's a best rap song category.
Okay, too. So, all right, best performance, huh?
Best rap performance. What does that mean?
I have no idea what
anybody
that
listening to the show, if y'all know what that means, send in the answer with the hashtag BG show, and we're going to figure that out.
I want to look at it as, since we don't know, the way I'm going to look at it is which one was the best rapped technically. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, that actually could be what it... Okay, yeah.
I don't think that's what it means, but it's what I'm going to go with.
Okay, let's
so as far as the best rapping out of those two, it's either Berserk or Swimming Pools, and I lean towards Swimming Pools.
Okay, you're going to go Kendrick Lamar?
Yeah.
Just because I like the song, I'm going Tom Ford, Jay-Z. I don't know what rap performance is.
Yeah,
so
we're kind of lost in this one. So.
Okay, let's go to the next category. Best rap song collaboration. We have Power Trip, J. Cole featuring Miguel. Part 2, On the Run, Jay-Z featuring Beyonce Knowles. Credited as Beyonce Knowles. Fancy. We have Now or Never, Kendrick Lamar featuring Mary J. Blige, which I think was a bonus track on the Good Kid, Mad City album.
Okay.
We have Remember You, Wiz Khalifa featuring The Weeknd. And then lastly, we have Holy Grail, Jay-Z featuring Justin Timberlake. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
I might have to go Holy Grail. Justin's a monster.
Yeah, Holy Grail too.
All right, we're gonna go Holy Grail, Justin Timberlake and Jay-Z.
What about, what do you think, Motai?
Motai, what are you thinking?
I agree. I was gonna say that.
All right, so we're all in unison agreeing.
Yeah, that's a good collab too. Like, that's a classic collab. They both shine on it pretty brightly.
Yeah. Jay-Z actually had a lot better lyrics on that song than I remembered. Bright lights are enticing, but look what it did to Tyson.
Yeah.
All that money in one night, 30 mil for one fight. Soon as all that money goes, all the pigeons take flight.
Yeah, no, that's good. It's really good.
Whoa.
That's really, really good, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so best rap song. Here we go. Best rap song. Not rap performance.
Our collaboration.
Or best rap song collaboration. We have best rap song.
All right.
We have Effin' Problems, which is written by Taheed Epps, Aubrey Graham, Kendrick Lamar, Rakim Myers, and Noah Scheib. Yeah, I guess Noah's 40. So we have Drake. Okay, we have Drake, 2 Chainz, Kendrick, and ASAP Rocky.
Alrighty.
And then we have Holy Grail, Justin Timberlake, and Jay-Z. Or Jay-Z featuring Justin Timberlake. We have New Slaves, Kanye West. Started from the Bottom by Drake, and Thrift Shop by Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. So again, those are Effin' Problems, Holy Grail, New Slaves, Thrift Shop, Started from the Bottom.
Huh. This one is actually, I don't know.
Best rap song. So what was the... It's definitely not Effin' Problems.
No. I mean, that's kind of a sad list for best rap song of the whole year.
Wow. I'm going to go just based off sales.
Okay.
Based off sales, I'm going Thrift Shop.
Yeah.
Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. What do you think?
I mean, that or Holy Grail again. I don't want to pick Holy Grail twice,
that's
though.
That's what I'm saying.
You know? I'll go. I would like Macklemore to win a Grammy.
I think it'd be tight. What do you think, Motai? Who are you going to go with?
You know what? I'll just agree with you guys and go with Thrift Shop.
Thrift Shop? No, we both said Thrift Shop.
That's what I said. I'll just agree with us.
Oh, they said I'll just disagree with you guys. And I was like, Motai, the thing about disagreeing is... Okay, so we all think Thrift Shop. Okay, best rap album.
All right, here we go.
We have Nothing Was the Same.
Okay.
By Drake. Magna Carta, .. Holy Grail, Jay-Z. Good Kid, Mad City, Kendrick Lamar. Yeezus by Kanye West. And The Heist, Macklemore, Ryan Lewis.
Right.
Kendrick.
Kendrick, best rap album. Kendrick Lamar, who do you think? Motai?
What do you think, Brad?
Okay, if we look at the history of the Grammys.
Right, okay.
It's going to be given to Jay-Z or Kanye West.
Really? You don't think Kendrick can get it?
I think Macklemore could
get it?
I think everyone... I mean, here's the thing about this category. No one on here, if they won, it would surprise me.
Yeah, no, that's a good way to put it.
Out of all of them, though, the one that would surprise me most is Drake.
Really? Drake more than Kendrick winning would surprise you?
Yes.
Why?
Because I think out of all of these albums, even though I love Drake's album, I like it the least out of all of these.
Okay, fair enough.
So, Good Kid, Mad City's way up there for me. Yeezus is up there for me, too, though.
See,
And I know we talked about this already.
To me, Kendrick's album is actually the furthest in the lead, like, quality-wise. Like, it's way ahead of the others. And I think, actually, Heist is probably second as far as albums that I enjoyed.
It's good.
Out of that
list. I'm not saying it's bad. It's good.
But it's not great.
But it's not album of the year. Rap album of the year. Now, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Macklemore's album and Kendrick Lamar's album are also nominated for album of the year.
Oh, I didn't know Macklemore got that one also.
Yeah, and they're both also nominated for best new artist of the year.
So they're neck and neck, the whole thing.
In almost every category.
Wow.
So I would like to see either Drake, Jay, or Ye win this category.
Since you think Since Kendrick and Macklemore are going to win something? I want Kendrick to win Album of the Year. That would be dope.
I honestly want Kendrick or Macklemore to win Album of the Year just because bring it home to hip-hop.
Right, yeah. Somebody from the delegation.
Someone from the denomination of the hip-hop religion needs to walk home with that Grammy. But I'm just going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say Yeezus. I'm going to say Yeezus' best rap. Even though it's not a rap album to me, best rap album of the year.
I'm going to stick with Kendrick. I want him to win both because he deserves it.
You're going to go Kendrick, Motai? Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, well, those are the Grammy nominations for the hip-hop categories. So
Grammys.
So best rap performance is still up in the air, as we have no idea what that means.
Yeah, no. We shouldn't even attempt to answer that one.
Yeah, what? Okay, but anyway,
maybe
someone help me out.
Waiting to the actual Grammys.
To see who's the best performer?
Yeah. Are they all performing?
I highly doubt that one. I don't know what that
means. Yeah, because they probably have that for every genre.
Yeah, I definitely don't. Fucking Woodstock. I definitely don't know what that means. But, okay, moving right along. We're going to take a, we're actually coming up here wow, Kyle, we've almost done an hour here today.
Wow.
So far, we haven't even begun to scratch the surface with Kyle Hubbard. Hub, we might have to have you do a part two.
Let's do a part two.
We might have to do a second part of the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand with Kyle Hubbard. First time in BG show history, are we going to do a two-parter with a guest, Motai?
I'm the one that deserves it.
You are the one that deserves it. You've grown your hair out.
You know? Quit smoking cigarettes. About to do a two-parter of the Brad Gilmore Show.
You just are racking up after.
I know. It's crazy.
I don't know how he's doing
Twanky
this.
13, baby.
Twanky 13. So with that being said, Kyle, you know, we'd love to have you back next week here on the show. So
let's do it.
More. We got to talk wrestling.
Oh, we do. We absolutely
talk a lot
do.
Of wrestling.
Yes. Let's talk an hour about wrestling.
We're going to talk an hour about wrestling. Motai?
I'm just going to listen.
Buckle up, buddy.
Because it's about to get awesome.
Well, that's been this episode of the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. We would like to thank our guest, Kyle Hubbard. Make sure y'all tune in next week to hear part two with Kyle Hubbard.
Yeah.
The Brad Gilmore Show on the Brad Gilmore Show. On the Brad Gilmore Show.
On Demand.
On Demand. We'll see y'all next week.
Trying to keep the will to rhyme alive with the 9-to-5 is by design. The hardest shit I've done in my entire life. And even though I try to fight, I feel like I already lost. A heavy cost to play a game that you don't even really like. Motherfucker, get it right. I'll always love the music, but I'll lose it if we ever let some douches wearing suits. And in the truth, there ain't no difference between passionate and stupid. I went through it cause I didn't know that I was on that new shit. I know the road I chose to go and roam is hard as shit. So if I make it, only breaking bread with you I'm starving with. I'm here with who I started with. I put my soul and heart in it, and those of you that sleeping still are here for some alarming shit. I can't fight the feeling that I'm over it, cause maybe all the years of bad decisions are not closing in, or maybe I'm just sick of being sick when no one notices it. No point to being dope and shit if you just end up broke again. I can tell you that I love it still, but then I'd be a liar. I can tell you that it's worth it, but the truth is that I'm tired, and it's hard to make my music when I can't, I get inspired. But instead of trying to fix it, I'ma set this bitch on fire. And it's burning down. This ain't no way to say goodbye. Woo! Homie, I know everybody.
Everybody got a place they wanna be. That isn't here and shit is clear. And I ain't even slide of me. Before I get my chance to blow, I'm laying out my hand to show. We used to have the nerve to ask the reason did I gamble for. Plans will go astray in every way, and that's the truth of it. The smartest man I've ever known were prone to doing stupid shit. So who is it that's gonna come and try to save the game today? I feel like every other week the blogs are passing on the cake. The blogs are passing on my tape. But something isn't working here, cause Mickey D's and nicotine is not enough to persevere. Something better work this year before the door is shut for good. I really feel as if I've done everything I fucking could, but nothing good enough to change my quality of life to better, bro. I ain't so dumb to think that I'ma rock a mic forever. As I age, I'm writing better, and the flow is razor sharp. Tell the captain it can happen if he choose to play his part. I can tell you that I love it still, but then I'd be a liar. I can tell you that it's worth it, but the truth is that I'm tired. And it's hard to make my music when I can't, I get inspired. But instead of trying to fix it, I'ma set this bitch on fire.
It's burning, it's burning, burning down, burning. It's burning, burning down.
This ain't no way to say goodbye.
Cruising off the fumes, hope I got enough to get me home. Listen, bro, you know the words are worse than any sticks and stones that you can throw. So before you speak, be sure to put some thought into it. Mad because they selling dreams, but you the one that bought into it. Gotta do it different if you with your roller block for me. And tell a friend or two that they should really come and fuck with me. Tell them,
download
my shit. Right now, I ain't trying to wait for shit. I'm trying to make it big. I'm trying to keep it real with people. I can feel the fake as shit. Politics is all it is. Well, fuck it, then they'll vote for me. And hopefully I'll grow to be smart enough to call it quits. And I don't feel that I'm the best in Houston. But if you tried to argue it, I bet that you can prove it. Those of you that think that I'm a phase really fear the change. Traded in my Vicodins for vitamins. I'm here to stay.